It was time to drown in the sweet sorrow of hosts of Ascalon with your host. I am Hunter, and I am joined, as always, by hashtag and Alona. So, before we get started, yes, hello.
You didn't do the regular one where about the two enthusiastic fan worlds do something.
Hello and welcome to Host of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls something something with one grumpy pants.
Is it good enough? Sure. Normally there's something relevant in there.
Yeah, but I didn't write anything. Okay. I thought maybe someone else would fill it in.
I was going to when I thought it was my turn, but it's your turn, so all right. I left it for you.
We'll let you off this time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. And we got some stuff, and we'll get into that a little later in the show. But first, we have Chivos, which is our segment where we talk about what we did this week. And I think hashtag is up first this week.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Sure. So I did raids last Friday night. Huzzah, huzzah, huzzah. So Spirit from Relics of Ore took pity on me and let me join in for a Friday night fun run. And they toppled Karen and the Mersaw Overseer in the Bastion of the Penitent. And then they pummeled the Veil Guardian, and I got to come along for the ride, and it was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to doing it again. So throughout this process, I came to realize that I really wish that I had more characters kitted out for raids. I feel limited offering only my Necro. I do not want to be a Hanzo main. Spirit kind of pointed out to me that it'd be good for me to try out Daredevil. So I am kitting out a Daredevil now. And I went on today and I basically went through all of my ascended boxes and figured out what I had. And I have pretty much everything except leggings, boots, and the back piece, and then various and sundry infusions and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I've never played Thief outside of the disastrous Living Season 2 Kaith story instance that I face rolled over and over and over because I was an epic failure as a thief there. But this time, as a Daredevil, I equipped a staff. I went out and I banged something on the head and pretty much, you know, two-shotted it. And wow, that's pretty awesome. So I can see the appeal.
So when I did Daredevil for the raid build, I wasn't sure if I was going to want to continue playing with it, so I didn't want to go like full bore in. And so my armor isn't exactly what I need, so if I want to switch it to be specifically the Zerker stats, because I have, what is it, power, precision, corruption? Whatever those ones are.
Power, precision, ferocity, right?
No.
Power, precision, ferocity?
Corruption.
No, it's not corruption. What's wrong with us?
I was just looking at it. That's what it was.
Are hurting my brain.
In any event, I want to upgrade them to the Zerker stats because I did really enjoy, and I think you will too, really enjoy playing Thief in the raids.
Yes. Okay, I'm looking it up right now. Berserker stats. GW2. I feel like it's power, precision, ferocity, right?
It is, yes.
Thank
you.
How
did we get stuck on this?
No, Berserker is, but that's not what I have.
I see.
Because I didn't know if I would want to continue playing
Gotcha.
That my armor stats are not Zerker, and I need to convert them to Zerker, but I'm going to do it a little bit over time, and what I have is power, precision, corruption.
Something else, yeah.
Condition damage?
Condition.
Corruption.
Condition.
Corruption. Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Condition damage, sorry.
Have you played Guild Wars 2 before?
It's a new stat.
I can tell you what colors people have dyed their armor. I can tell you what armor pieces are and what set they're from. The stat combos and I don't remember to save my life.
Fair enough. So I took advantage of the March sale and I actually bought something, which is a big deal for me. As you know, I don't buy things that often. But I bought the unlimited molten harvesting tools. So now I have complete set, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and you can put them in your one extra bank slot. So that's great.
You don't need more than two bank slots.
I've
and
got like 10. How storage expander on one or two.
The shared ones?
No, are you talking about... Wait, are you talking about shared inventory? Or are you talking about bank taps?
Oh, bank taps. Yeah.
I pretty much park everything that I want to keep on characters and keep my bank tabs for quick and easy access and for trading things between characters. And that's it. I don't know. I keep it simple. I throw a lot of things away. I did have to rebuy broken Khalid Bog thingy. Yeah.
Which is a whole other, like, grumble cake for me because, like, I finished hot, like, 5 times in the first couple months. So I wasn't going to keep around the broken Khalid Bog for over a year in my inventory. So when it came back around, oh, you need broken Khalid Bog now. So I had to buy them over and over again. Ridiculous.
Alona had it. We knew.
I had two.
Let's see. Oh, I did a Path of Arrah with Spirit Hunter and some Relics friends for the daily. I think that was last week, maybe. And I have no memory of doing that path before. I don't remember which one it was. It was in Path 4, obviously.
It was the Forgotten Path, Path 3.
And it was forgotten.
And you should be ashamed of yourself for not remembering that.
It's the easiest, fastest path of Arrah, and I'm pretty sure I have done it with you before, so yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think the only other time I've done it is when I was completing Dungeon Master. I don't think I've done it any other time. I don't know. I didn't remember at all. So it's a feature, you know, because it's the forgotten path. It's like a amnesia thing that happens when you do that path.
Well, it's a good thing that you were not present for the Giganticus Lupicus fight then, since you didn't remember it at all.
No, see, I remember that fight, but isn't that in multiple paths?
Oh, well, yeah, true.
Yeah. No, because the first time we did that, Spirit has her whole thing where she makes you do it right before she'll do the kind of cheese out way. So the first time I was there, she made us do it all out. And then I know I've done it with her before where she just kind of cheesed it. So, yeah.
I see.
And... Oh, so yesterday, completed Tier 4 Fractals with Hunter, Spirit, Festy, and Keeper, testing out my new router, and there were no disconnects. You don't understand how wonderful this is, because...
Glory be!
Yeah, for the past couple months, it's been getting steadily worse, where I disconnect. And we didn't know what... At first, I thought it was the Mac client, and...
I was going to say, you were continuously blaming the Mac client.
I know.
It wasn't the Mac client.
I'm sorry.
I need some crow here.
Yeah. It was definitely my router. Replaced it yesterday and instantly everything was zippy and fast and no problems. So fingers crossed, I think I am good. And then tonight, right after I logged on, I ticked over and got my 11,000 chest.
Woohoo! Huzzah.
2 gold! Woohoo! I haven't got my daily done today yet, but I got my 2 gold from my 11K chest. So that's it.
Okay. And Alona, would you like to go next?
Oh, I could, if you like. Yes. If you want to go last, that's totally fine. Okay, let me just scroll down to me. So I'm actually going to start mine off with nothing that I actually did in game for this last 2 weeks, because it was just a Twitter post that Blue Jasmine, who's someone I follow that plays Guild Wars 2, and they tweeted out, I really wish we could put diving goggles as an interactive decoration in our guild halls. And, I mean, come on. Yes, this needs to happen. I love this idea. I don't know if they can, but I would love if they could. So that's nothing I did in game, but it was something I read about the game.
I'm trying to understand that. So is that just so you can wander around in your bathing suit, or so that you can actually dive from various spots in the guild hall?
Yeah. Like if you could put, like, if you make your jumping puzzle and you like a diving goal. Although that leads into achievements that mm-hmm. you could make for the guild in some way. Which would be so fun. Anyway, there wasn't necessarily game anything I did, but I just loved it so much I wanted to talk about it. I got the anomaly achievement done, finally. So I am one of the many monsters that have chased down 10 innocent anomalies and destroyed them. And I would meet up not every day, but I would meet up with Keeper, who's in the guild in Timberline at Reset, and we got them done. I think they go quite a bit for the Mystic Coin that you get.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think you're doing the right thing.
With what?
Killing it.
Really? That's a firm assertion there.
Wow.
I mean, what would happen if you just let it run around?
Wait.
It might hurt someone.
But what happens when nobody kills it? Because I've never seen that.
Nothing.
Does it just
runs
time
and
out?
And disappears.
It yeah. runs around and disappears again. And when otherwise, it's running away from you and cowering in fear.
Yeah, good riddance.
Oh my god.
Wow. So, heartless. Not that I'm surprised, but you know.
Hunter's clearly a monster. I've been into PvP a lot more than I had been. And it wasn't like a conscious decision. There were other things I was working on. I just wasn't going into PvP at all. I think like the last PvP season, I did not play a single game. So the fact that I've been going in more frequently, you know, I'm already that much further ahead. I haven't finished my placement matches yet. But I like the new system, like the play. And because I didn't do last season, I have no idea if this is the same as last season or different from last season. And I completely forget everything I had read about last season. But I like the placement system. And during one of the matches in Kylo, one of the teammates, Teshalia Aya, told me over team chat that I was doing a good job on the treb, and then I started to panic because I didn't want to let them down. And I'm like, oh my god, they told me I'm doing a good job. I don't want to let them down. It was like literally panicking.
So with this season, is this where they introduced the moral victory points if you have a close
yes.
game?
Which is really nice because mm-hmm. we did get a few of those, like where we didn't win, but we were within, like, we were really far behind and we super closed the gap to, no, I don't think we were in danger of overtaking them necessarily, but we really closed the gap and made a comeback, and they were good matches still, even though we lost. So it was nice to not, you know, feeling punched in the gut. And for that, like, it was like, yay, we worked well as a team, and so we got rewarded for it, even though we didn't win. I got nearly all of the Lake Doric Chivos done, and I still shake my fist at the lumberyard and ship events because I cannot get those. I wish I had got them when they were glitched.
Hmm.
Or so, when more people were playing in Lake Doric?
Yeah, that's how I got it.
Well, I was playing when there were more people in Lake Doric, but just that one never...
Well, we can help you with it. You just need to, like, speak up and go after it.
All right. Well, I think those are the only two I need left in those zones. Maybe there might be one more. I'm not sure. And this one, it was something... I think it was when I was in PvP, and Hunter... Or I think it was you, Hunter, who asked me a question or something, and I was in combat. And you know when you're in combat, you can't... At least for me, I can't concentrate on what I'm supposed to say back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in the middle of... and I go, just a sec, I'm in... Fighties. I mean combat, because I completely blanked on the word combat.
Fighties.
I'm in fighties. And then Blaze was in chat with us, and he goes, you know, I hate it when I'm challenged to hand-to-hand fighties. I was like, oh, I can't, I am still entertained that I said that instead of combat. And it's been almost 2 weeks. Hunter actually tweeted out about it. And I went into Drytop with Hunter on... So, Hunter, I don't want to like spoil your thunder, but you were in Drytop a fair bit the last couple weeks. And in one of them, you were telling me, oh, this is a T6 map. But it was in Sandstorm, and I was hemming and hawing whether I should come in for the tail end of it or not. But I eventually did. And we finished that off. But then crew, the guild that was running it, which I think was Sand? Was it Sand?
I think so.
Yeah. That was running it. They said, we're going again! So we stayed. So you were there for quite a bit, but I got one full T6. Like, what was it? Like, 2 minutes in and we were already, like, tier 2 or tier 3 or something?
Within
it was insane.
2 minutes, yeah.
Hmm. Yes.
It was pretty good.
It was so good. And so I'm glad I stuck around for that. Mach did a few guild missions, or twice. We did them previous week and this past week. And the first week we were doing, we only had 5 people in. Panther joined us partway through the hard trek, which was 30. And we were on the last location. 3 of us had gone there. There was like about a minute left, but by the time we got there, there was like, for 40 seconds, we were like trying to interact with the spot, leaving the spot, interact with the spot, and the trek failed. It never did interact with the spot, and it was so...
Oh, yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
It was pretty close.
It was close. Like, it was... It didn't really... Everyone got personal rewards, so it's not like individually we weren't rewarded. It just meant the guild trek didn't succeed. And we were okay for favor, so it wasn't a huge deal. But it was like, now we're 3 of us are on this thing, hitting interact, and it's not happening. But then this past week, we did them again, and we tried the 30 trek, and we were able to do it, and it was awesome. And was there anything else from the guild missions that you can think that were entertaining?
No.
Just about that?
Crab scuttle was such a pain in the butt.
Oh. Yes.
Because nobody had done the event at the end of it, which has never been good that event is up while you're doing the...
Yeah.
It would be kind of nice if you were immune to those Karka. Like, still the little ones that will attack you, but... Like, you're too small potatoes for these Karka. They'll just leave you alone. They want to kill the sentient things, not the teeny tiny crabs wandering around. And I did guild missions with Maven this past Monday, and thankfully there were only 2 races, so huzzah, I was very happy about that. And I've just been relaxing and gathering around my favorite zones, which is, you know, just mellow. Part of that was also to gather up materials to sell, because I had a goal of getting over 2,000 gold, and I was able to do that this past week. So
you beat me to it.
I did. So, and I'm hovering around. I was higher, but then I bought some things that brought me like closer to the line. But I'm back up again. And when you're not actively going for a legendary, you're able to save money. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It is
how this happens. So, but if I do start upgrading my my Daredevil's armor, I'm definitely going to be going down again, because I'll have to get the Runes of the Scholar again, and then the Zerker insignia.
Yeah, now that you've got 2,000 gold, can you please stop using cheats? Instead of just waypointing to where we're going, stop using the city portals to get around.
It's not a cheat.
It's not legitimate. It's so annoying.
I don't do it for the track.
Oh, great. Thanks. Every other time.
Yeah, basically. I take every shortcut and way accessible to me to be able to minimize my waypoint costs. Mm-hmm. Because that's the way I roll. I actually put in here that fractals probably are something I've done. I don't 100 believe, or I don't 100% remember.
We did a bunch of low level ones with Panther and
right.
Yes.
Yeah. So I did do some fractals, and I gave Alona a clothing/fashion makeover. She had had the same armor look for quite a long time, so she's been redone. I had to get a couple dungeon armors because I didn't have them unlocked, so I had to get a couple things from there and a few other stuff, but I'm pretty happy with how she looks.
So is it a new color scheme or the same? Or
new color scheme and all new armor, and I actually transmuted my Light of Dwayna back piece, which I'd had. That's like
what?
A standby. I've had the Light of Dwayna back piece as Alona's back piece for like ever, but no. Now I use the whitish flower that's kind of over
it's
the
pretty.
Right shoulder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to be good and not spend all my monies on the sales, but
Black Lion keys.
Actually, I hadn't this past week bought any Black Lion keys. But I did get the 3 shared slots when they were on sale. And I didn't have the heavy Aetherblade armor, which is on sale today, so I picked that up as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting it later, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not super crazy about the gloves, shoulder, and headpiece for the heavy Aetherblade, but I do like the boots, pants, and chest. So
yeah.
I thought, well,
it's
because
good for
you can
individual
mix
pieces, but yeah, mm-hmm. as a whole, it doesn't really look that great.
Yeah. Especially that shoulder piece on a Char is ginormous. And Norn. Char and Norn. So I think, and that, you know, again, I've said this, I always say this, I probably am forgetting stuff. Oh, Zero's asking if I got the fish. I did not. I was going to say I'm waffling or flip-flopping on this.
Ooh, well yeah, played.
That's,
no.
It is awful. That's why I'm like, oh, should I? But anyway, I think that's pretty much all I've done in game. What have you done the past couple weeks, Hunter?
So I took a try at getting some of the adventure achievements that I don't have. Like I mm-hmm. must have spent an hour in, more than an hour at Fallen Masks, but the paths are a bit RNG, and with some of them being seemingly impossible to complete, so the closest I got was 24 out of 25.
So frustrating.
How do other people get gold on these things?
Luck. Well,
I watched a video and the guy just got complete RNG. Like he had like multiple instances where the Fallen Masks he had to collect were right beside one another. And I never got that when I was doing it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I did get gold in Flying Circus, which was easy. Only took me 2 tries. I guess I just never put any effort into getting it. And I got silver in Sanctum Scramble, which was my first real attempt to get anything from that adventure. I don't know if I'm going to try for gold or not.
I don't even have silver on that one.
I've been doing about 25 rounds of Costume Brawl every now and then with Festy. There's a total of 15 achievement points for the full Costume Brawl achievement category. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how far I'm going to go with it. Maybe the whole way, maybe not. It's you need 500 wins total or something.
Oh my gosh.
Dumb. That's like that. Yeah, so far I've got 50 wins or something. So I don't know how far I'm going to go. But I'm not getting achievement points any other way.
Have you still been doing the adventures? Not adventures. What are they called? The activities.
Yeah, I did Sanctum Sprint yesterday for a little bit, but I didn't get any achievement points out of it.
You're probably not missing an awful lot of those ones.
It takes a lot. It's kind of like WDUP, where you have to build up a lot to get the final achievements.
But if you haven't done anything in them at all, you can get achievements pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. For the low tiers of those.
I wouldn't mind getting in on those when I do get around to capping my AP.
Well, how long is that going to be?
I'm within 2K.
Well, that's still 200 days of dailies.
Yeah.
But that's soonish.
We'll see.
It's within a year. Within a year.
All right. Next year we'll revisit.
I made a couple Ambrite weapons, bringing me to within a few of completing the whole achievement, finally. Ooh. I mean, that's been out a couple years now, so. Mm-hmm. Several rounds of dry top for the geodes, of course, to buy the recipe and to buy picks so that I can get the Ambrite fossils. I did a couple rounds with Sand. We were talking about that at T6, where we did the full King Boodle, where the commando was stopping for everybody to be there when the script
Butler that spawns. Was when I was with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was telling everybody just to get a couple hits on it and then stop firing at it because it would die so quickly. There was that many people there. Mm-hmm. And he waited for everybody to show up to the rare boss, and we all got to do the Squid Queen, and we killed the Sand Giant, and then we went and did another event. So I was getting 140 geodes, 120. I'm not sure how many. Somewhere in there. And I did a round of Silver Waste event completer on the day of the daily event completer. And I got so many Bannock Rests, I was really surprised. I got 800 just from doing one full round of Silverways from start to finish. It was quite a bit, I thought. And I finished the Ascalonian Catacomb skin collection. I started on...
Sounds wrong.
I started on the Sarl's Embrace skin collection, which is the furthest from being done. I have 26 skins left to get for the Dungeoneer achievement. Wow. I've also saved up 13 chests of Dungeoneering, which is about 1,950 tokens for whichever dungeon I choose to put them into.
I think almost every time I was on and you were on, you were in World versus World.
Mm-hmm.
You were focused.
Yes, very much so.
Well, part of that is that I am leveling up my world rank so that I can beat Spirit's ass in the ground.
Oh my gosh. Goals.
She keeps going in there and leveling up just so that she can be ahead of me in levels. And it's just and to get gifts of battle, I suppose. But
did she cap out? Did she cap out her daily AP yet?
No, that's another thing that she is working on simply to annoy me so that she can have more achievement points than me. Which is annoying because she's got like all the raid achievements that I don't have, and that combined with the dailies, she might have a lot more achievement points than me. So that's why I've been doing activities and costume brawl for fuck. Yeah, I don't want to do costume brawl, but I'm doing it.
Do you have all the achievements for... Oh, what's the one with the drinking tables?
Yes, Belcher's Bluff.
Okay.
I have them all, and I've offered multiple times to help you with yours, but you never seemed...
Yeah. I've never done that. Well, let's do it.
Okay. But let's wait till we've capped our AP.
Good point.
Why wait?
Next year.
Why wait? So, finally, when discussing the Gift of Rain achievement, Alona tried to convince me that I hadn't done it because it was expensive, and she thinks of me as a cheap bastard. So,
because
yeah, you are.
You are.
I am not a cheap
bastard. Oh my gosh.
What earth are you? I'm the one that complains that you guys don't spend the money on waypointing around.
But you don't. You don't buy things.
What don't I buy?
Things.
You don't see
Black
have
Lion
a firm
keys.
Argument. That's different. I bought the Norn Spirit Raven glider. I bought the Glidatron Ironclad glider. What was the other one I bought recently? I forget. Oh, the classical glider.
I will say, it seems like. Yeah, yes, it does seem like
saying, you don't
recently,
buy the floppy fish.
Recently, you have bought a lot of kind of flashy things, but last year, I don't remember you buying as much. I feel like you've kind of, you know.
I'll tell you about the things that I buy. Did I tell you when I bought like nearly a full stack of crystal shards? About those like a couple weeks ago? No, I didn't.
I saw it in chat.
Okay. I put in a buy order today for 250 Azurite crystals, not the Azurite orbs, the one that's a tier lower, because the supply of those are like so limited. I thought, you know, why not buy a stack, and if it ever explodes in price for some reason, I can profit from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that I bought, 7 gold worth.
Do you think the majority of your gold has been from flipping or from investments?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I would say like at this point, 30% has been from flipping or investments, and the rest is just like gathering or lucky drops.
I guess for the Oreen one, the Gift of Oreen achievement, I just did not think that that was enough achievement points for you to spend that much gold. Mm.
How much was it?
That's like
it was only 30 gold or something, was it?
It was over 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It's expensive.
And you don't like Oreen enough to get a mini of her.
Well, that's true. I'm not going for Coda's Blessing, which is ridiculous with 950 ectos, but...
So it was the combo of things that I was shocked that you were willing to spend that money for 5 achievement points.
This is how desperate he is right now for achievement points.
Is it 3 or 5?
I feel like you are including stuff like Ancient Wooden Orichalcum, which comes to me extremely easily, and I have no problem spending that stuff. So that is what I did this week.
Jawa.
and that's all I have to say about that.
Black Lion Flippers. I'd watch that show.
This week on Votes of Ascalon, we asked, Season 3 of Living Story has tied up a lot of loose ends in the human story. Which race's storylines would you like wrapped up in Season 4? And we had 111 responses, which is pretty great. So thank you everyone who mm-hmm. responded. And the findings are actually, I didn't know what to expect, I guess. Char came out ahead at 35%. Then Azura and Norn were tied at 23%. And Silvari got 18%. And the human storyline didn't... Oh, we didn't include it at
we
all.
Didn't,
did
yeah.
We? Yeah. I was good, like, it got no votes because we didn't include it. So, yeah, thanks everyone who voted for that. Did you have any thoughts on this particularly, Hunter? About the results?
That's more votes than we've had in a Votes of Ascalon before. So thanks to everyone who voted. That was mm-hmm. pretty great. And I was mm-hmm. surprised that Char won it. I thought Savari mm-hmm. would win it with the whole Malak thing, but we got a lot of responses saying, oh, well, we covered a lot of Savari stuff with Mordraboth, so let's yeah. move on to another race.
Yeah, I think Savari is the closest to being tied up, the next one. I actually said, I voted Azura, but there were some very compelling explanations for why Char would be interesting, and I'm like, ooh. Was mm-hmm. that the one, was it Char that I said I want to change my vote for, or was that Norn? No, it was Norn. And we'll talk about that a little bit further down.
Yeah.
Because yeah. we actually did get a question.
In the fail that, bag.
The 4511.
Or the HOA FAQ YouTube. Like many names. So anyway, stay tuned to at Hosts of Ascalon on Twitter for more insanely important Votes of Ascalon polls. Insanely important.
Yeah. So should we start. Cut
We're gonna,
this?
Yep.
And now in Posts of Ascalon. So, gem store stuff. Just a reminder that there are ongoing March sales. And I have to say, I remember the March sale last year and feeling kind of ugh about most of it. And there are a couple days here or there with this March sale where it doesn't feel great, but there's some pretty good stuff. Yeah. Almost, you know, like a couple times a week is, you know, or more than that. So something for everyone. Let's put it that way. And not only that, it's not the usual, you know, 20% off. It's 50% off, which mm-hmm. is really good. So, currently the Shield of the Goddess is 600 gems and the Mini Crichton Floppy Fish is 350 gems. And, Alona, yes. So you said you thought you saw on Twitter that underwater the mini just swims.
Yes.
You know what? I remember Blaze mentioning that last night as well. So I haven't actually seen it. Have you?
I haven't seen it. There was someone, and I only said that they posted it on, I believe it was Twitter, and they posted a photo. And I think it was something that said, like, oh, they look much happier here or something like that. So.
All right. It wasn't Blaze. It was someone else then.
Keeper, maybe.
Maybe.
So anyway, I thought, you know, I actually checked Delphi to see if there was video of it, but then I forgot to watch the video. To see if it shows it. It doesn't look like it shows it in the still, but maybe.
So when it moves behind you, does it move like the rock or does it actually flop? Does that make sense?
Well, the rock kind of flops.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, as much as a rock can flop. Cause...
I guess I'm wondering, does it more hop or does it flip-flap?
Is this really that important?
Yes.
No, it isn't. Can we move on to the next thing now? Jeez.
Sorry.
Does the floppy fish flop? That's your question. Okay. Moving on. There wasn't much news this week, no real updates, but we did see a post on massivelyop.com, and we wanted to talk about it. It's, I forget what it was called. Alona has written Massive Raiding Thoughts, but that is not the title.
Yeah, Flameseeker Chronicles Creating a Better Balance in Guild Wars 2 Raiding.
Oh, thank you, hashtag.
It's a very concise title.
Yeah, it's by Tina Loro Pollock, and we're just going to go over that a bit and offer our own opinions. So Ms. Pollock starts by saying that one of the major concerns aired by the Guild Wars 2 player base regarding raid content is the risk of juicy raid-only story details being gated away from the bulk of players. And that is a big concern for most players. Just wanted to add that personally, that's not really what aggravates me. I mean, it annoys me and it does aggravate me, but important pieces of lore being used for the story of raids and not for everyday Guild Wars players has been that have been playing for 10 years is annoying. But it's not my main issue with raids, which I will get to later. So she goes on to describe the expanding the raiding pool makes financial sense. More players raiding means more active engagement with content that requires significant time and resource investment. What do you guys think that's reasonable?
Yeah, like, obviously they're making it. They want people to play it. So,
Well, I'm not
it's that hard line, though, that they have to to keep with keeping a feeling of value, though, so it's kind of it's a difficult line.
I don't know. Most games, the raiding population can't be that high. I mean, look at WildStar; they invested a lot in just having raiding content, and it's kind of a financial failure of a game. I'm not sure that it's in evidence that having raiding is good financial sense. Is that?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, you know, what's so great about Guild Wars 2 is the diversity of game types within, or gameplay within, within the world. So, yeah.
But the diversity is there while also being easily accessible.
That is true.
Yeah, well, anyway, moving on. Guild Wars 2 was never originally designed with raiding in mind, and so the core player base is not necessarily looking for this type of punishing, time-intensive content in the first place. I've bolded this whole sentence because...
And then you say bold.
Yeah. It just, like, it really went to the source of my issue with raiding in Guild Wars 2. And Alona is typing in feelings for some reason. But yeah, I just felt like that was a really good sentence, and I wanted to bold it. but moving on, she also goes on to say, creating raids for the minority of players who do enjoy them isn't an inherently bad move, simply because the market for raids is niche, especially in a game with a sometimes overwhelming amount of activities to engage in that appeal to larger groups of the game's community. That's, again, I agree with that quite a bit. Do you want to take the next part a little bit?
Sure. The next part was under the title, Why is Raiding a Problematic Inclusion Then? One of the things Tina goes on, writes, is raiding firstly presents a problem for those who do not wish to miss out on nuggets of lore that are contained within the content. Raid content is not at all easy for a casual player to jump into, since raiders largely wish to run with other experienced raiders to decrease the likelihood of failing and wiping more times than is comfortable. That said, I think that's more true for pugs.
Oh, very much so for pugs. I saw a thread on Reddit just yesterday where somebody had 50 legendary insights, but their threshold for allowing him into the pug group was like 100 or something stupid like that.
Yeah. Like, I will say I've really only raided with relics, but they're very, well, no, I haven't. We mock raided, but we kind of knew what we were getting into as a group doing this. But, you know, they do relics raids couple times a week, I think. They have two different groups, I think.
Yes, once a week.
And once a week each one. But they're very accommodating. And I have seen, maybe on Reddit or somewhere else, people talking about how we're starting rating training sessions. And so, this is definitely there. But I think the other is also there.
I think the other is there as a response to the first thing. And it's just, I find it very alienating. But
it can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They said, even if casual players can cope with the fluctuating difficulty presented by the content, trying to convince raiders to accept non-raiders into a party can be a difficult task. Taking the first raid as an example, much of the White Mantle hype was effectively gated away behind a difficulty gate where it couldn't be easily accessed by many players. To me, the story needs to be experienced in order to get the best from it, so watching streams and videos to find out what secrets each wing holds wouldn't cut it for me at all. And I'm kind of there with that. Like,
I don't know. Okay, so I have kind of changed my position on this now that I am an experienced raider. Here's the thing. So when I was playing the raid, I felt like so much of my attention was spent on the actual fights and on what's going on that I'm not really paying attention to the story as much. Mm-hmm. And then I get so much more out of the story afterwards when then I go and watch, you know, Wooden Potatoes or other, you know, deep dives into the lore. And so then I'm left wondering, okay, so what does that mean? You know, does that mean that the story, I don't know, for hardcore raiders, are they even really caring about the story?
Anyone that I have heard who raids does. But I don't know necessarily. I think several of them would be considered hardcore.
I was really unhappy with the story that they used for the raids because, well, one, they used big, well, spoilers for anybody that's listening. You might want to stop listening. But
our listeners do want to hear spoilers from us now that we have pulled
it's
them.
It's been, what, like half a year or a year or something? So I think we're okay.
We're good.
So before Living Story started up again, the raid came out. And it had huge spoilers, in my opinion, for what was going to happen in the Living Story. Because they mentioned Lazarus. There's all kinds of mentions of the White Mantle and Mersat and stuff like that. And it's just fairly obvious when it when Bloodstone Fen came out, who was going to be at the end of it. And it was just a big spoiler for me. And that was just like to hear about it secondhand because I don't raid is stupid. And it was just like not a pleasant experience for me to have the thing that's targeted at me, the PvE story, be spoiled by a raid story. That was ridiculous.
Now, going back to hashtag for a second, did you watch streams or gameplay before you had gone in or after?
Both.
Okay. So did it change your experience and thought on it, one versus the other?
I don't know. I think
watching it after, because then I have a better frame of reference.
Yeah, I think definitely watching it after I had more of an idea, but I also think watching it before to a certain extent prepared me. Yeah. But then you miss out on that wow moment when you're not quite sure what's next, and that kind of drives you forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tina goes on to write, on the flip side, difficult content must have some meaningful payoff to those who succeed to make the grueling work required of raiders feel rewarding, and lore is one of the main joys found in the game from my perspective. I don't think that is why people raid, quite frankly.
No, it's the rewards. And yeah, go ahead.
It's the skins that nobody else can get so that they can show off. That's why people raid. It's the only reason.
Yeah, I mean, the lore is an icing on the cake for a lot of people who raid, but I don't think that it is the payoff for raiding.
Certainly not. And I would also include, you know, being quote unquote elite. That's the other payoff to be in this exclusive club for the cool kids.
Yeah. Like, I mean, anyone I personally know that raids loves having the lore and they like it, but it's not, that's not the driver for doing it.
Right. And as Festy's saying, you know, that for many people there, you know, the lore is, you know, kind of the first thing. And then it's about the fighting and it's, you know, it's that feeling of working together and accomplishing the kill that is, you know, that there is that just joyous feeling. And I think that that's rewarding to many people.
Mm-hmm. I suppose.
Tina closes out the article by saying, are there any changes that could help? One logical compromise could perhaps be the inclusion of a solo mode in which the encounters are scaled down and do not grant the same rewards as usual, rather than necessitating group finding and making it a throwaway raid light. Make each area solo explorable, more in line with dungeons, perhaps. And I don't, we've talked about, a lot of people have thrown this idea around. Like, it's a very common one. I think they even addressed it in one of the AMAs. Am I making that up?
I think they may have, right.
That they weren't, maybe?
What, the raid light stuff? I don't know.
Well, no, didn't they? I think they at least acknowledged that, that it might be something in the future to consider. I particularly think that, you know, that's sort, they need to do something like that. Maybe not to that extent, but when you consider that the trailers for the seasons or expansions or whatever feature, if you look at the percentage of content that is featured in those trailers that is raid content, that can be quite frustrating to the casual player. You know, so how much of, like what you're saying, Hunter, like how much of this is for me, who has devoted all this time to this game and I want to be involved in all this new content, but I'm shut out from it.
But not so much content, but story.
Yeah. Well, I think both. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other option that Tina suggests is players could perhaps choose a fluid number of either players or NPCs to run with, or maybe Timey's wonderful virtual battle machinery back in the Dragon Lab could be reemployed to facilitate raid testing with some work on her part. Now, I'm intrigued by the second part, but I loved the hero system in Guild Wars 1, and that's what the first part of this sounds like to me, and I love that. I love that idea. Like a lot.
I just don't see how they would implement it.
I despise that idea. Because why would I want to take NPCs around? I should be taking real people with me. That's the whole point of playing online, is with other people, is not having to deal with bringing bad artificial intelligence with me.
But Hunter, how many times have we gone with you into Fractals or something like that and frustrated you because, like, if I didn't understand a mechanic or I didn't quite know what I was doing, and if I had the opportunity to go in and practice at a low stake, like, I'm not going to make anybody upset. I can, you know, fall on my face over and over and over again and then do it with people. There is value in that.
Well, I think a better system would be to have, like, a raid light where you just have 10 people doing a slightly easier raid with,
I think,
not zero rewards. Everyone always says, oh, let's give zero rewards and just let people run through it on an easier, but that, no, that's terrible. If you're playing a game, you should get a reward. Just make it slightly easier for 10 people and make the rewards much less. And
I think it should be 5.
The 10 people, it should be 5. 10 people is largely the problem.
I think 10 people would make things much more like a real raid, so that people could get better experience, better training, like we were talking about. And I just feel like that would be a better solution, and it would probably take less programming and working on it to get it done.
Well, I was very intrigued by this idea, honestly. And you know what? Maybe I'd be okay. Yeah. Either way, it would be nice to have something in place. I'm not saying that they must go with this one that I liked that Hunter hated, but I do like the idea of it.
Yeah.
A lot. Because I loved the hero system and
well, go play Guild Wars
system.
1 then.
I will.
Okay. To be fair, I think that personally, I think that there aren't going to be any changes to the way raids are done until the next expansion. I think that, you know, the attention does not need to be there right now. They're obviously focusing on what's coming next, and we want them to be focusing on that. So I guess it's more suggestions for the next whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter pulled out something from the comments. I'll actually read it if you want, Hunter, because you were going to talk about it.
That's fine.
Ashvin Ninegold had commented on the article saying, "Raiders shouldn't need special goodies and enticements to raid because the raid itself is the reward. But the truth is, no one would raid if not for the special treatment raiders get. As a small but highly vocal population, raiders eventually bend the game in their direction, making all other content less rewarding in order to save it for the deserving hard-playing raider." I don't know if I agree with that before you jump into your things, because every game type has incredibly vocal players, except PvE, but every other game type has very vocal players. So
yes, but this vocal group of raiders is getting more rewards than proportionally perhaps they should be getting, because if you look at the number of new skins and rewards that raiders have gotten since raids started coming out, and you compared it to PvE in the same time frame, excluding actual Heart of Thorns rewards, in the same time frame, PvE has gotten less than raids, I think. I'm not 100% on the numbers, but it's like, I can think of 20 or 30 raid skins, but I can't think of that many for PvE.
Well, Well, we'd have to do the math on this. I can't think.
Yeah, I would have to actually look it all up and stuff. But
yeah,
right.
It might also be a situation, Hunter, though, of raids, because they're so new to the game, it's just condensed. So there have been a lot more, whereas the rest of the game, it's more spread out over time.
It's the same time frame, though, from when raids launched to now, and from PvE from then till now. So we've gotten, in my
But PvE, opinion, what I'm saying is, from launch of game to raids.
I don't think that's fair to compare from launch of game to now, to raids to now.
Okay.
Hashtag, you pulled out a comment as well, so go ahead with that.
I did.
Awesomely highlighted it.
So this is from Life Isn't Just Dank Memes. And this person was responding to the question, if Anet hired you tomorrow with express purposes of smoothing out issues with raiding, how would you tackle the problem? And this person said, is the raid armor in the game yet? That would be the first order of business. If it isn't in the game yet, then it's a big reason why people aren't playing the raids. Armor in Guild Wars 2 moves content. That was a back-of-the-box promise as a selling point for Heart of Thorns. And he closes out by saying, in regards to raiding, that starts with releasing all of the raid armor that was promised as a selling point for an expansion that came out in 2015. I think that that's kind of important. And you know what? Now that I'm reading this, I realize that I totally misread it when I wrote my comments. Because now I see he's talking about skins within, or armor within raids, like being released. But I took it to mean armor to do the raids. And to me, that's such a huge gate that's keeping many people from raiding. And I feel like, you know, even though there is still that perceived, you have to have ascended when really you can do it with exotic, it still keeps people from playing raids, I think. Particularly if you consider how easy it is to get ascended armor once you start raiding. I was really surprised after, you know, I've done the mock raids and I've done a couple raids with relics, and I have just about enough to get my first piece of ascended armor. And I feel like I haven't really done that much to deserve that, compared to waiting for a lucky drop from fractals or something like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all discombobulated because I read their comment wrong. I don't know how I feel about that. Is the raid armor in the game yet? That'd be the first order. Yeah. I guess I agree with them in that and this goes back to just Heart of Thorns in general. The promises that were made should be delivered. And that is that.
It's fairly ridiculous that legendary armor isn't out yet. It should have been out ages ago.
How many people do you think are ready to finish their legendary armor at a drop of a hat, though?
Like every raider I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Like they have all the sets and everything. Okay.
I have half of the stuff for it, to be honest. And I don't raid. Anyway.
How did you get it, Hunter?
I worked at it. There's stuff outside of the raid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, another comment that I pulled out was Brian Gerber, who said, "What baffles me is that people think that removing raiding resources would increase content anywhere else by a meaningful amount. It most definitely would not. The amount of resources they have on the Living Story content and the next expansion greatly exceeds the resources of raids. By removing raiding resources, you don't get more content elsewhere. All that happens is you lose raiding content." I highly disagree with this comment. This is a common thing people say in response to people making the criticism that, you know, if they move those resources to other areas, we would get stuff, and people say this, but I even got that response from Crystal Reed in an AMA 6 months ago or whatever, where she said that the team working on raids is only 6 people. But when I hear it's only 6 people and I see the amount of content that the raiding team is able to push out, I see like whole zones that we're not getting. 6 people is like 1/5 of the Living Story team. So we're not getting 20% more content elsewhere in the Living Story, or they're not pushing it out as often as they could, like 20% faster maybe. So that actually kind of pisses me off when people say that we wouldn't get more content elsewhere. Of course we would. It's 6 people pushing out some fairly good content that they could be targeting at the casual general PvE crowds. So I'm unhappy with that comment. If you guys have anything to say about it.
Or know Brian Gerber, send him Hunter's contact info. they can duke it out. It'll be great.
Yes. Fightsies.
Fighties.
Fighties. Serious comments on what I said?
I don't have thoughts either way on those. I actually didn't read the comments at all. No, I read yours, but I didn't read the comments on the article to see if there was anything that jumped out to me. I did see, I think Inks had commented on one of them about that they should remove rewards from raiding or something like that. But I liked the article. I thought it raised some very interesting points. I thought it was I tried to pull out the on the plus side this, on the negative side that part of it, but I thought it was a very interesting article. So if you are interested in reading the full article, massivelyop.com, and if you look up Flameseeker Chronicles, it'll be one of the ones closer to the top. So,
yeah, so it was a good article for the most part.
Yeah. I do like, however, that I messaged it to both Hashtag and Hunter saying, maybe talk about this, and Hunter's, because we're all such massive raiders. I was like, listen, we're getting some good chatter out of this.
Yeah, I did Once have some criticisms it? Of, like, what she herself was suggesting as solutions.
Right.
And I find, like, those
but
are
that's fine.
Her personal
yes.
things. For me, it took away from the rest of the article.
But she was very clear that these are my personal things that I could find interesting, and then said, and what about you? And I thought it was a valid way of presenting it.
If you say so.
I did actually say so. All right, so how are we doing this next one, did we say?
We should probably cut and start yeah. another file.
Right. Yes. That's a good idea. So we did get a couple of questions tweeted us. The first one was Sylvia in Space said, will you guys go over some of the loose ends for each race in the next episode? For Norn, Azura, I have no idea.
Yeah, and I responded on Twitter with sure, and apparently that was not good enough. You had to go into detail about what sure meant. Mm-hmm. Sylvia.
Oh, that's right. I was very pleased with the response, though.
Okay, so for Asura, I would say, where are the Inquest? What are they up to? We've killed two dragons, and that's supposed to be their raison d'être, and yet we haven't seen a significant push by them to do anything against the dragons. So, what are they doing right now? Where are they? And I think we saw them the most recent time, at the Coalescence events. Mm-hmm. In various zones, but aside from that, I don't think they haven't been doing much. What would their response to the discovery of Radonovus be? Where did the Radonovans go to, for that matter? What about the lost cities of the Asura that were deep inside Tyria that they were driven out of by Promortis? We haven't seen any of those. Radonovus was founded after Guild Wars 1. So that's the storylines that I found interesting about Asura and would like to see closed off. Do you guys have any suggestions there? Or
I definitely Radonovus. Would like to know more there. For me, often, and I think I was talking with you guys about this beforehand, that yeah, I don't really remember a lot of loose endy personal story stuff because I didn't. Maybe because it's been, one, a long time ago, two, they were in paths I didn't take or races I hadn't played far enough in.
Well, I don't think it has to necessarily be a personal story.
Yeah. I tend to just, it's one of those when it comes, I'm like, oh, yeah. Then remembering.
Okay, so moving on to the Norn. I wonder a lot about the missing spirits, the one that Jormag supposedly killed. I mean, how do you kill a nature spirit? I would have to assume they come back because nature just didn't die, but can you bring them back? Can nature spirits die? Is there a connection between Norn and Codan? That's a big one that people wonder about a lot. And how do we deal with the Sons of Svanir? I mean, they're the big bad for that race, the Sons of Svanir, just like the Flame Legion, just like the bandits for the humans and the Inquest for the Asura. So, I mean, we recently saw them in Bitterfrost Frontier, but that was the first time we saw any sort of development with the Sons of Svanir outside of personal story.
And on Twitter, when people were talking about some of the... question came out of our poll, and it was a Bootsbur said, you and Bootsbur were talking and you brought up the spirits for Norn, and I was like, I wish I could change my vote because I would love to know more about that.
Right. Yeah. Spirit of the owl is one I would like to know more about. Maybe the spirit of the Minotaur, since the spirit of the Minotaur is in the very low level Norn personal story, and they talk about how it hasn't been seen for generations, and then Sons of Svanir are I don't know if they're experimenting or preying on minotaurs, and that riles up the spirit of the minotaur. So, you know, you wonder if that spirit of the minotaur is going to be worshipped more or make larger appearances or what happened with it. But, and then there's, you know, the spirit of the owl, which I don't think has a clear answer of whether it died to Jormag or not.
I thought it did.
I'm not sure. I should have researched it. I'd like to know more about the spirit of the owl. And then for the char, the big thing is the ghosts. Ritlock has been seen actively seeking ways to cleanse Ascalon with Sohothin and the other sword. And there's still the Flame Legion and the Brand to deal with. And not to mention the obvious plot thread involving Ritlock being arrested. So those need to be cleaned up, and then Silvari storylines need to clear up the Pale Tree's health problems, where the Nightmare Court stands now that many of its leaders are dead. You've seen many of their leaders die in the Twilight Arbor dungeon.
Yes.
And in Heart of Thorns. And then,
yeah, where do they go? Do they go back to the Pale Tree?
Yeah.
And what happens to Soundless?
Yeah. True. And
see, this is what I need someone to talk to me, and then I start with the and then.
Here's what I think. I think it's kind of like the TV show Lost. I feel like
I haven't played it or watched it.
I'm not spoiling. I'm just saying at the beginning. No, listen, at the beginning, you know, you Lost? Throw out
really? Didn't it end in 2006 or something?
Yes.
I haven't gotten around to it.
Okay, God. Throw out a whole bunch of storyline possibilities, like a billion different ways things could go. And then you kind of see what sticks and what you want to explore based on whatever themes you want to work with. So I kind of feel like that's what happens here. I mean, there's all these different storylines where, you know, the narration could head, and it just depends on where they want to take the game, and they pick up bits and bobs as they go along.
Mm-hmm. And just to finish off Silvari, there's also the big mystery of Malak, of course. That's the big one everyone talks about that wasn't cleared up with Heart of Thorns. And there's things like what happened to Silvari who were corrupted by Mordremoth but survived his death. Are they still evil, or did they come back to their senses? You know, lots of that's why I voted Silvari. There's so many places that could go, even though so much of the Heart of Thorns dealt with Silvari storylines.
So I voted Azura, even though I kind of wish I could change it to Norn. Hashtag, what did you vote for? We never actually talked about that.
I didn't vote, actually.
Oh, right.
But I kind of agree with the comments that Silvari, it feels a little bit like not that those storylines are tied up, but that I want to explore something else maybe a little bit. And so I think I would have voted Asura just because I really love the Asura. Yeah. It's kind of obvious. Yeah.
And finally, even though we didn't include human as an option in our poll, they still have some storylines that need to be cleaned up, like the mysterious E, the piece of jewelry that reveals the heir to the human throne, and the rest of the ongoing threads involving Lazarus, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's still stuff. Still, and where has Casimir been? And what's the deal with Farron?
She's a member of the court. She's a busy woman. And Farron...
She's not...
Are we ever going to really... I mean, Farron, that's just... You know, the running joke. It's Farron.
I love Farron.
Who doesn't love Farron?
It sounds like a TV show. It's Farron. Actually, what was it? Someone said something, and now I can't remember. I was going to talk about with the... Oh, Norn, owl. Because I did look it up. The owl stayed behind to fight Jormag. In order to give the Norn time to during the Norn Nexus, so
It stayed behind, and it was confirmed
the death.
Shit.
Yeah, she is revered with great sorrow among the Norn as the last Havrun of Owl confirmed the death of Owl.
Well, at least that gives me an excuse to find the kitten file and insert it into the podcast again.
so that people can hear it and understand.
Oh my gosh.
And acknowledge
it
that
down.
It exists.
Because I could not hear it.
I didn't hear it at all.
Nobody heard it except for me.
But the thing is, Hunter, I'm so used to hearing the pattern of your voice that I think my brain just automatically fits in expletives wherever you would normally say them. Okay. Even when we're podcasting, like right now, I can hear you in my mind saying little extras.
Before we move on to the next question, I want to pull up some of the ones from chat specifically, where Zero is saying they would like to know about the Norn settlements, like where Braum was from. Someone's saying Magdar?
Where Braum is from? Craigstead,
but then IB Storage says Magdar. Zero said they'd like to know the fate of Salona. And IB also says, I want the energy probes used again from Scarlet, because they're all over the place. So, yeah.
That's not really a loose thread. I feel like that's pretty tied up.
Although, it might, from the point of view, if you're newer to the game and did not live through that content, then that those were part of the living world before it became replayable.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's all these things lying around and people have no idea what the heck they are.
Moving on to the next thing.
Okay. We also got a tweet from Flipside3. Just got the last golden badge in Silverwaste, so now I never have to do that stupid jumping puzzle ever again. Could we get a discussion on what achievements in the living world zones / stories are good ones versus horribly painful ones? And before hashtag starts talking, I would like to point out that she just type, like, at a moment's notice. She's like, I know all these instantly. So
wait a second, where did you get this screenshot? Did you include that in there for some reason?
Yes. What screenshot? What are you talking about?
There's a screenshot in her notes.
Oh, the icon.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, go ahead, hashtag. Sorry.
Okay. So I'm going to limit my comments to achievements for Living Story Season 3. And basically what I did is I went through the 4 episodes and talked about my favorite achievements, the best ones and the worst ones, as far as what I would recommend going for and the ones that you leave till last until your daily AP is capped and you have to do something.
Jeez.
So for Head of the Snake, which is my favorite overall, I got these done in about a week, less than that, like a couple of days, right after it came out. I just had so much fun doing these. I think the best achievements in Head of Snake is actually the hidden achievements, which you can find on Reddit or Adolfi, or you can find them on your own. They're easy Easter eggs, but they're just kind of delightful. They're fun. So I like those kind of achievements. Good to go for. The worst ones we've already mentioned, earlier, the achievements that require precise group sizes. So Moonlighting, that's the Lumberyard one, and the Honorary Crew Member, that's the White Mantle or the Skrit Ship challenge. And you really have to find just the right amount of people at the right amount of time, at the right time, in the right place to get the achievement. And otherwise, you scale it up too high, or you don't have enough people, or one thing gets away, and then it's all over.
Yeah,
so
ship one, you immediately start losing progress on the bar. Like, as soon as one guy gets away with one thing, you lose the achievement.
You're done. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that one immediately after they fixed it. I did it with about 5 other people, and it was the perfect amount to get it done. So maybe that's a good suggestion. Maybe, you know, if you have a small group of guildies, you should kind of camp it out, look for a quiet map and wait for it to pop. And maybe that's the best way to do it. But I would leave it for last.
I saw someone on Twitter, and it may have also, that may have also been Flipside 3, but they said that it would be nice if those ones weren't like all or nothing, but maybe within a percentage. Like,
right.
Make sure that fewer than 5% make it through or something like that. But then, because when it's that, like, all or nothing, it's like, well, no point continuing. Have at it, guys. I don't care. You get the lumberyard.
And Hunter is making fun of my visual aids because I put a screenshot of the icon in our show notes. But I love the head of the snake icon. I don't know. It just visually, it appeals to me. I like the background in the ship and I like the look of it. I think, you know, like...
What?
Yeah, it's a ship.
Because it just looks like a dot with an X on it.
No. Isn't that like a ship, like a listing mast? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I've looked closer now. But you're weird for liking this so much that you took a screenshot and put it in the show notes. Like...
I guess it's because I was Alona.
Alona just took a screenshot and put it in the show notes. No, she's too.
I had that on my desktop because it was my favorite icon I've seen in game.
So
mini rock, pet rock.
Yeah.
No. That sorry.
It's the googly eyes.
It is from the component for the dragon hatchling doll eyes.
Oh.
For Gift of Orine.
Oh my gosh.
And I was so entertained, I blew it up really large on my desktop and took a screen cap.
So it's your desktop background?
No. I just have it on my, like, the file.
You should make it your
desktop
background.
I should make it my desktop background. Actually, I need to, like, can I get the high-res version of this? That would make me very happy. Yes.
So I think, actually, the reason that it stood out to me was I went in to look at my achievement panel when I was going through these, and, like, a crack in the ice is just a snowflake. You know, it's not as detailed, and the screenshot, I actually didn't take the screenshot myself, Hunter. I grabbed it off of another picture, which is why the resolution isn't that great. But when you're in game and you have really good graphics, it pops. It looks detailed. It has depth to it. And I just think whoever designed the icon, nice job. I like it.
I will say I feel like I need to agree with you, hashtag, on this, because when I get achievements from the head of the snake, it feels more like, huzzah! The other ones are like, oh, I got an achievement. And these ones are like, yay!
Like, there's something
maybe
about
there's another effect added to them when they pop. I don't know. But yeah, I definitely feel like, ooh, when I get one.
Mm-hmm. All right. So A Crack in the Ice has my least favorite achievements overall. They were okay. I just didn't feel like, I don't know, excited to finish them. It just kind of things you had to do. I thought that the story instance achievements, particularly the ones with Orin at the beginning, were the better achievements, kind of fun. And the worst, we've already talked about the gold sinks, Coda's Blessing, Gift of Orin. And if you are what's that?
There was another one, the community one. I forget what
Yeah, that's not, I mean, that one's more time than a gold sink.
Well, it was like 6 gold that you have to contribute to get some achievement points or something.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. So if you're a completionist, it can be really frustrating to have these empty achievements staring at you unless you're willing to throw a whole bunch of gold at them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, eh. And then Rising Flames and Out of the Shadows are kind of my middling, not as bad as Crack in the Ice, but not as good as Head of the Snake. Rising Flames. So I'm going to start with the worst. I'm Rubber, you're Destroyer. So Hunter, Alona, and I tried to get this done together the very first night that Rising Flame was released. I remember us doing this and then trying to figure out how this achievement worked. And this is the one where you have to hit, what is it, like 40 destroyers?
I think so.
I'm not done it yet still.
Yeah, well, and it encourages a player to be selfish because you want to grab the the bomb or whatever it is and hit as many destroyers as you can. But if you've got anybody else in the instance with you, then
screw them.
And then it means everybody's got to do it again, and it's not an easy instance. So if you, and then if you don't want to screw over your guildies, you know, go in alone. There's no way you're going to survive long enough with Lazarus to get it done. Yeah.
But do you need to survive and complete the thing? Maybe you just go in and just keep throwing them and
I think you,
I think the problem though is that there's, yeah, but there's just, you, I think that's
but
fine.
They still but, count towards your overall total.
Right. But I think the issue more is the time that it takes to get to that point in the mission where you could get that. And it's not like the beginning of that part in the episode, right?
That's what you're saying.
I think you have to go through some content.
Those motes or something like they had in the glint portion of the previous living world.
The thing annoys me most about I'm Rubber, You're a Destroyer is that it's one achievement point.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean that, yeah. I will say overall, who decides how many achievement points, each thing gets? Because it does seem like it's like they throw a die and, dice and figure out, okay, whatever this lands on, that's how many achievement points this is going to be worth. Because you could spend,
weeks
and you get one, and then there's other ones where it's like you walked into a room, congratulations, have 20 AP. I don't know. So that's the worst for Rising Flame. And then I think the best / worst for Rising Flames is also the Mersat token. So I would say flip side. If you hated getting the lost golden badges in the Silver Wastes, the Mersat tokens might also not be up your alley. But
there's hints.
There are hints, and that each one.
Hints, in my opinion.
Well, no, but each one, it's really well. They did change. Didn't they change this with the Silver Waste ones? Because when it first came out, right? Wasn't it not exactly clear which ones you had and which ones you didn't have? And it was also before you could turn on so that you could see all the interactive words, whatever. You know what I mean?
Teacher folks.
Yes. Nice. It's late. So it used to be a lot more frustrating. And then now I feel like they've built into achievements the ones that where you have to find many things. They've put in more helps and hints and ways to keep track of which ones you have and which ones you don't. So I feel like they did a really good job with that with the Mersat tokens. But that said, you can't do it unless you do the jumping puzzle. And that is horrific for many people. So, but on the other side, it is amazing when you get it done.
Yeah.
So
it feels accomplishment-ing
right
thing. You know what I mean?
I totally get it. Blaze, I know that Blaze said that, Irish Dog said that the ability to see interactables have always been in game holding control. Absolutely. But,
have it toggled
so you don't have to keep pushing it down. My pinky
claw.
I used to have the like, yes.
What's wrong with your hand?
Yes.
I needed it to see things.
It was also my push to talk button. So fun times. And then out of the shadows, I feel like, the achievements there are pretty even keeled, all very doable, fun, light, easy to get done in one sitting. However, reading chat, Ivy Storage said that, grief counseling in Bloodstone, for Out of Shadows, he missed it when everybody was doing it. And that may have colored my perception too, because I do feel like if you do it when everybody is doing it in the first couple weeks when these are released, it's a lot easier. Because, for example, season 2, I missed out on some of that. And trying to go back and do it is just, it's a headache. I mean, people are always willing to help, but it's not the same as that initial energy where everybody's working on it and excited about it. And you don't mind doing it over and over and over.
Yeah.
So overall, I feel like Out of Shadows is well-balanced, good achievements. Fun. But yeah, I do feel like the Living Season team is doing a good job with the achievements, and I feel like they're getting better. I mean, if Head of the Snake is any indication of, you know, where we're headed in the future with, you know, fun, good, hidden achievements and some achievements that take more time, but they feel rewarding and, you know,
a bravo. Nice mix.
Yeah.
Yep. And okay. Nice icons.
Yes.
So who is taking this email?
I think you need to read this one.
What, me? Okay, we got
with your
email.
Voices.
What?
With voices? Your voices. You know, your voices. Broadcasting voices.
What do you mean multiple voices? Like, you said, make it sound like I'm schizophrenic or something. We got an email, an actual email Alona has written here. Hey! Exclamation mark. Long time listener. Technically, a first time writer. I got the message about you having an email, so I'm writing an email live. Well, not technically live when you're reading it anyway. Comments about the show. Good show! Exclamation mark. Now I know you're broadcasting live. I'll try to make it. I also know you have an email now.
Also, I would like to point out he is not in chat.
He's not here.
Suggestions on the show. More surveys. Okay, we do that every week or every 2 weeks. Weekly games, maybe. I don't know. We'll think about
possibly.
It.
Possibly. Yeah.
Weekly surveys about weekly games. I mean, how many surveys do you want, Remo? Jeez. Maybe each host having their own personal segment, like Alona's Gem Store Freakout or hashtag Predicts and Hunter's What Really Grinds My Gears.
Why? I wanted you to read this.
It's a reference to Family Guy, for those who don't know. Okay, this was an email sent by Romo, just for the fact that Hunter made it super clear that the email is a thing. Happy face. Keep up the great job. Signed, Romo.
So thank you for emailing us, Romo. I will say he tweeted that he sent an email in, and I went like, but there's nothing here. And I thought, I'm going to check spam filter. I'm like, yep.
There it is.
So thank you for letting us know that you typed it, because it would have been living there still.
Mm-hmm.
What really grinds my gears. I kind of want that to happen. In a segment that we're just going to call Boasts of Ascalon, but may or may not continue calling it that because we have a lot of Ascalons, we wanted to send a thank you to ArenaNet and Gail Gray for the shout out on the March 15th episode of Community Showcase Live. It was unexpected, so I was like watching it and I'm like, what? And very, very made me all warm and tingly. So
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, they gave us a tweet, like, just before that, didn't they?
They asked for us to send them our information.
Oh, that's right.
And I got thinking that maybe it was for this, but then because we got an email earlier today, I don't think that was the case.
Ooh.
So to get in touch with us... you can contact hashtag on Twitter at #thetag with 2 A's for some reason. And you can contact her in game at sig.1735, SIGG.1735.
I just want to point out that technically there are 3 A's.
Yeah, thanks for that. You can contact Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter. And you can contact Alona at OneBigPair or OneBigPair.1249 in-game. You can contact the show at Hosts of Ascalon on Twitter and HostsofAscalon.com and HostsofAscalon at gmail.com and twitch.tv/HostsofAscalon for our Twitch stream, which we air Wednesdays bi-weekly at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on April 5th, so put that in your calendars.
Romo.
And that's it. That's the end of the show.
We should end the show every time with us calling out Romo in some fashion. Just see how long we can do that.
We need to put this outro in, like, sentence form instead of...
Yeah.
If only we could do that. If only that was a thing. So, are you going to... Was that how we're closing? Or did you have...
No, I don't you're have done? Anything else to say. Yeah, what's wrong with that? What was wrong with my outro?
No, it was fine. It was fine.
You apparently have a problem with my outro, so go ahead.
I was going to thank chat room,
mm-hmm.
and both of you.
Yeah, thanks for distracting Alona all the time. Chat room, love it.
Was I not very good tonight?
You were better than normal. Thank you.